Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Victory Monday for the Lions. Another win and an impressive defensive outing. Kept them out of the end zone. Haven't given up a touchdown in 10 straight quarters, and that's 3 second halves in a row where they've held the team to 0 points. Mm-hmm. Aaron Glenn, coaching clinic, sitting down late in the game on the bench, just kind of taking it all in. The job he's done. John, I think it's more impressive than what Ben Johnson's done this season.
Well, here's the issue we're going to have as we go through this exercise is when you prop up one, it feels like you're putting down the other.
Jim, why do you hate Ben Johnson?
Well, and so that's what it is. It's, you know, why do you, you know... Why do you think he hasn't done a good job? It's basically what it's going to become.
I'm not asking Ben Johnson if he's done a good job. I'm pointing out that Aaron Glenn lost Aiden Hutchinson mid-season. If Ben Johnson lost Penei Sewell in the middle of the season and they were performing at that level, that's the equivalent, is it not?
Sure. If it's just simply you've lost more on your side of the ball and you're still playing well, then yeah.
Well, they're not playing well. They're playing like... among the best defenses in football. Their pass defense is 1 or 2 in the NFL this season. They're not giving up points, touchdowns, any of this stuff. Red zone, third down. They're a well-coached defense by every single metric.
Yeah, and but then you flip it over
so
on the other side.
People.
They've lost a lot. And again, I don't want to sit here and say that he hasn't done a great job. It's been amazing. And if you're simply using the metric of he's lost more, both of his starting edge guys, not available. Starting linebacker, not available. And there have been other times where they've been down a guy or, you know, for a half, for a game, and they haven't missed a beat. I think he's done a wonderful job. I also look at the offense and say, you know, what, 7 different receivers caught balls yesterday? with as much as J-Mo led the team with 6 receptions. Amon-Ra St. Brown had 5. And then you go all the way down to Brock, who had 2. Like, they are almost an impossible offense to defend. And we've heard from
Belichick. But that was the expectation.
Okay, so they've performed to expectation, so he's just been, mediocre.
No, see, that's what you're doing. I'm not tearing down Ben Johnson. I'm propping up Aaron Glenn. The Lions offense is the best in football, and it was expected to be among, 1, 2, or 3 in football. The Lions defense is 2nd right now in points allowed. No, but Aaron Glenn's defense was not expected to be arguably the best defense in all of football. They're 2nd in points allowed. They're 2nd in the red zone. They're 1 in passer rating against. Like, they did this, John, with Aiden. I don't think the expectation was they would be the best defense in football. And I'm sitting here today telling you, you could make a very serious argument that the best defense in football is the Detroit Lions. That's why Aaron Glenn has done a better job than Ben Johnson. And that's not a slight. That shows how big a compliment that is to what Aaron Glenn's done. And I would echo what Alex Anzalone said. I expect him to be a head coach next season. I don't know that Ben Johnson will leave. We know that there's going to be obviously some selective decision-making for him. He's going to be selective in his choice. I feel like Aaron Glenn will be a head coach next season. I feel very confident in that. He's a great leader. He's a great motivator. And the knock on him was, but his defenses haven't performed very well. You can't say that anymore. He will be a good head coach, and he will be one next season.
Well, he'll be a head coach. We don't know if he'll be a good head coach.
That's fair.
And same thing with Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's been selective, and if the right job comes up, maybe he'll take it. It's probably the same thing with Aaron Glenn. If the right job comes up, he'll take it. And he may be less selective. I don't know. We heard about his name last year. We kind of all raised an eyebrow, how much has he really done? We're talking about the last half of the year where it was a really good defense. They ended up getting the NFC Championship game, and a large part of that was that the defense played a lot better.
Yep.
But it was the worst secondary in football. Now, all of a sudden, you flip it one more year, and if you're just simply going by points per game, he is 2nd in what his defense has been able to do, only to the Chargers right now that are, giving up 14.5.
And they're playing the Ravens tonight.
Right. And so, you look at Ben Johnson and the offense, they're 1 in points per game.
Correct. Ahead of Baltimore by 2.
How dare you? How dare you slander Ben Johnson? He is the one that is putting the magic sauce into, how you handle Sonic and Knuckles. The offense, being able to spread the ball around every single level. You can't defend this offense, yet you just don't think he's done as good a job as the other side of the ball.
You guys can weigh in on this as well. 248-539-9797. And anything from the game and the state of the team right now. We've got a bunch of ticket texts and we've got open phone lines. Texter says, on the subject of coordinators, says, I don't think Aaron Glenn is doing a better job than Ben Johnson, but I believe Aaron Glenn will be the first to get a head coaching job. Aaron Glenn is going to Dallas. I would put money on it. That's from Marlo.
It just depends on, here's the positive of going to Dallas. One, you're going to make a lot of money as a head coach. You're going to make a lot of money as a head coach in Dallas. You're probably also going to get more time than at other places. That's kind of the shocking thing about Jerry Jones is he is loyal to the coach almost to a fault. Mike McCarthy, his contract is going to expire. They're not going to fire him. They're just not going to re-sign him.
Another job that's open, New Orleans, where Aaron Glenn played. My point is there will be 3 or 4 teams that teams that make sense for Aaron Glenn. Texter says, here's the question. How would Ben Johnson's offense fare against Aaron Glenn's defense? And vice versa. It's from Steve in Algonac. Well, I still think Ben Johnson's working with a little more.
Yeah,
his win.
Offensive line is probably going to be better than whatever the defensive front. Yes.
Ticket texters on this football team says they have St. Brown returning punts. The offense will lose him, Sean, in Commerce. We've had several people today. Let me find the other one saying, great show, guys. I don't understand with the injuries piling up. St. Brown returning punts? I get edgy and nervous, Matt in Grand Blanc. John, we can address this now. It's going to come up a bunch during the show today. Mm-hmm. I think some of it is you lose Khalif Raymond mid-game. You want someone back there that you can trust to just catch the ball. Maybe not necessarily look for the most dynamic return guy.
He took some shots.
He did. People said just get out of there. How do you want them to proceed with the quick turnaround here on Thursday?
I would like to see J-Mo back there. I know as a kick returner,
he was dangerous.
He was dangerous at Alabama. I don't know how many times he was actually back there catching punts. And it's a completely different ball to catch when it's punted versus kicked. I know everybody thinks, well, if you can catch a kick, you can catch a punt. It's very different. Spin's different. Trajectory's different. A lot of things are different. Plus, the catch is different in regards to the coverage. You're not under duress when you're catching a kickoff. You could be under duress. And I think that's the one question of, not only did they trust Amon-Ra St. Brown to catch the ball in those situations, they trusted him to make good decisions. Fair catch, what's coming at me, all of those different things. So it'll be interesting if Leaf isn't available to go. And on a short week, it sounded like Dan Campbell after the game, that was the one where he was less positive about the injury and being able to go on a short week.
Probably the most concerning injury of the bunch. Yeah.
And so, what are your options at that point? That's what you got away.
So Isaiah Williams claimed off the practice squad, not an option, right?
Right, yeah.
Antoine,
claimed by the Giants, right?
Bengals?
Oh, Bengals.
Or Browns, one of those B teams in Ohio.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, for him. And Green. Antoine Green is on IR. He'd be another name. J-Mo makes a lot of sense. I also think Sione Vaki. He had some kick returns, a little bit of kick return work at Utah. So those are some names to watch. Ticket Texter says... Oh, no. Are we getting some of these today? Goff looked poor again. We play like that against a playoff team. We're losing. Yesterday was proof we need to move to Hendon Hooker. He gives us the best chance to win the Super Bowl.
Stop.
And Westland.
Can you cut his mic off?
Jamar.
This is dumb. This is ridiculous.
I promise you, it's not for me.
It's dumb. I know that, but
I'm a changed man. I'm reformed.
I bet you were cheering for Stafford last night, though.
No, it's cheer for Saquon Barkley. How about that? How's Valeni feeling now?
Cheer for Saquon Barkley.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. The Lions getting set to take on Chicago tomorrow in a Thanksgiving Day tradition that is weird. There was a column that came out. It's weird because it's so different, the context of which this game will be played. And there was a column that came out a couple of weeks ago, somebody bitching about, why do we have to see this team on Thanksgiving again? They stink. The Cowboys. It made me laugh. Because that column came out like every other year for the last three decades about why do we have to watch the Lions again? They're ruining Thanksgiving. Somebody wrote about the Cowboys ruining Thanksgiving.
Well, that's fun. Yep. Good to see that. And look, the NFL, now that they have the three games on Thursday, they got the game on Friday. You know, this Thanksgiving week, I think it probably has calmed a lot of those people that say, you know, from within the NFL, Let's give it more than just the Lions and the Cowboys that get to play on Thanksgiving. Well, they offer up the extra games.
It's a great tradition. I don't know if people tailgate with traditional Thanksgiving fare, like before the game.
I think they...
Hard to do.
I think it would be, except if that's what your Thanksgiving is going to be, like that you're going to get there early. Maybe you're watching the parade first off or whatever, and then you're tailgating throughout that. I've seen a lot of... like deep fried turkey stuff.
Yeah.
You know, where people get the deep fryer out there and try to do that.
I've never tried it. Have you?
Personally, I've never. Have I had it? Yes, I've had it. And it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's so good. I'd be terrified to do that because of, you know, flames and gas and all the horror videos you see of that. The other thing is you got to know what
third-degree burn chances. Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
But you got to know what you're doing with that. You know, there's you got to prepare the bird properly. I think most people say you got to brine it, and then you've got to inject it with all types of butter and other stuff in there. But I will tell you that the best turkey I've ever had was a deep-fried turkey.
Where and when was that?
It was early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the late James Houndong Hunter's house.
Really?
Yeah. He invited me over. It was during the week of Thanksgiving, and they were kind of doing a dry run. So we had a couple friends over. And
it was a test? You were a test case?
I was part of a test case, yeah. Yeah, and it was unbelievable. It was also the first time I ever had sweet potato pie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So Houndong introduced me to that, and that's when I said, I like sweet potato pie better than pumpkin pie. Which is a controversial take. And I like pumpkin pie. I do. I'll have pumpkin pie. But if you give me a choice of pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie, I'm going sweet potato.
So there's a few things. I don't know if it's because my mom, you know, Eastern Canadian, and there's a few things that she does around the holidays that I've struggled with. One I've adopted, the other I can't. Okay. The cranberry like sauce on turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I was originally like, oh, hell no. And now I'm like, I actually like this.
Like the actual sauce where you take the cranberries, put it in a skillet and add some sugar to it. Or
yeah, or there's sometimes she would make like a jello mold of cranberry and you'd kind of just scoop it out and put it on the turkey.
Okay.
I didn't like that at first. Now I do. One thing I've never gotten on board with, and again, I wonder if it's an Eastern
It really thing. Helps with a dry turkey if you've got the cranberry.
Yeah, and it's great if that. The turkey's not dry too.
I don't mind cranberry.
But you're saying if your turkey is dry, putting cranberry, it's like gravying the hell out of the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But so that I've gotten on board with. The one thing that she did, and a lot around the holidays, that it was kind of a granola thing, and I don't know if a lot of people do this.
That's what you call, or the kids call.
Well, my mom granola. Yeah, cheese on apple pie.
Never understood it. Never had it. Never. And I love cheese.
Yeah.
I love pie.
Yeah.
I don't.
Weird combo, huh?
Want to put it on there. No.
But you've seen it. You've been privy to this.
I've never seen it out in the wild. I've seen it on TV.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is that? You're putting like a slice of cheddar on there? What else?
Yeah. It always makes me. I'm just like, that's a no for me, dog. Granola. Yeah. Granola dog.
Now, if. Like, I'm trying to think, where would it make sense? Like, even if you're, like, just having a party, would you serve...
New Brunswick.
slices of cheddar or cheddar square cubes with sliced apples? Would you do that? I don't even see that.
No.
So I'm trying to think what cheese and fruit goes well together, and it's like brie? But you don't see brie on there.
Yeah, I'm just out.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Kang, you ever do either of these, cranberry on the turkey or cheese on apple pie?
Well, cranberry and turkey, that's pretty common, right?
Yeah. I didn't like it as a kid. I like it as an adult.
Yeah, I'm not a big cranberry guy, so I drown my turkey in gravy. I'm a gravy guy for the turkey.
Yeah.
The pie thing is a little different, but I love cheese. Love cheese. But it seems like a weird combination, but I wouldn't be against trying it.
Yeah.
Because I'm almost that guy where it's like, put cheese on anything and I'll try it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
You're speaking my language. Right? You know what you're saying?
I mean,
yeah.
That's a Janssen theory, I think.
I think so. Yeah. That's a Janssen University.
Janssen, yeah. That's a 100-level course at Janssen University.
Put cheese on it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, cheese on apple pie doesn't do it for me. But all right. So look, Lions and Bears is a football game. Remember, it's a little bit early and 12:30 kick for this one. But. Hey, man, it's another game they should win. I mean, it is what it is. They're a big favorite every week. You were at the beginning of the week, Gator. I'm gonna test you here. You were a little sketch, but things evolve. Are you still sketch? You still not worried, but you just think, hey, this might be tougher than people. And it really stems, I think, to your belief that the Bears are close.
Yeah, I think there's a number of factors that go into it. First of all, I do think the Bears are more talented than what the record shows. I mean, they've lost, I think, five in a row. And yet, you go back to their, you know, 5 games ago, they lost at Washington. Wasn't that a Hail Mary pass?
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah.
That's the one that sent them on the spiral.
They lose that game, and then the last couple games, they lost to Green Bay because of a missed field goal. And then the same thing happens with Minnesota. They come storming back. They go to overtime. They have the chance to win it in overtime, and they don't. They give the Vikings the ball back, and the Vikings end up winning. So, you know, that's 3 games in the balance against 3 good teams, right?
Yeah.
We think Washington's good.
Yeah.
Although Washington's fallen a little bit. We think Green Bay is good. We think Minnesota's good.
Yep.
Those are 3 tough losses. They played them, you know, right to the end in all 3 of those games. So I think the Bears are good. They're not good enough to win those games. I think the Lions will win this tomorrow, but I do think it's going to be closer than that 10-point spread.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple
things. And the Lions have injuries.
There's a couple things about it. I mean, one is in between all those games, there was a 20-point loss to the Cardinals, and they only scored 3 points in a loss to the pathetic Patriots. But we did this for a long time with the Lions, and we've kind of forgot because our team has skewed the measurement so much. NFL games, so many of them are won on the margins. So many are so close. So many come down to that one mistake, that 1 or 2 plays that you make. And we were that team for years. And when you sifted it all out and you looked at what was left, we realized it was a bad football team. And the Bears, on paper and what you just said, you're right. They should have beat the Commanders. I mean, that's a horrific loss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the ultimate in finding a way to lose.
The defensive back is taunting the fans while the play's going on. He's got his back to the play.
The Packer game, they found a way to lose. The Viking game, it kind of took a miracle to get to overtime. But once they got to overtime, they had the football. And, you know, but that's how we defined ourselves as a bad team for so many years, is not finding a way to win on the margins.
Right.
Right now, the Lions are blowing people out, so we kind of forgot what this was like.
The Bears are doing exactly what the Lions used to do.
Yep.
It was what, you know, there was, remember that awful season of like 1989, I think it was 89 or 90 season. It was just an awful 89 season. It was awful year.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a way to lose games that year. Each game was unique. Fumble return for a touchdown, interception return for a touchdown, or the Lions would just fumble it away at the end. They'd be return touchdowns, specialty touchdowns, whatever it was, or just getting flat out drummed in the game. Every week was something different. Like I just mentioned, those 3 games against the Bears. You had a Hail Mary, a blocked field goal, and then he comes storming back in the last week, get the ball in overtime, and he can't do anything with it. You know, and you had missed kicks in that game, too.
Finding a way to lose.
Yeah, and coaching not helping you out, going for 2 when you don't have to and stuff like that. It's got to be very frustrating to be a Bears fan. And, you know, hey, welcome to our world for the last 50, 60 years. And finally, the Lions have turned things around, and they can overcome mistakes like that. If there is a pick 6, okay, yuck, throw it in the garbage, move on to the next play. It doesn't affect them the rest of the game.
No.
I mean, even after you throw an interception, an interception, 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 and an interception, you still get after it.
And that actually happened. That actually happened
a couple weeks ago. So it's things have changed, and this is where the Lions are at. And I do think the Bears are going to give them a challenge, but I'm a little concerned with the Lions without Carlton Davis isn't playing. What does that do to the secondary? Who's going to step up into the opposite corner? I'm glad Terry Arnold's going to be back, but you know who's going to play opposite him? Taylor Decker out. Does that mean, and they asked Dan Campbell about this a little bit yesterday about the plan. Do you move Penei Sewell over to left or do you let Dan Skipper play left? And Dan Campbell was kind of noncommittal about it. He's like, well, you know, we can always move Sewell over left if we have to. But he said on Monday we had Skipper playing at left tackle. So I don't know what they did yesterday, but what do they do with the Decker situation? And then, you know, we've talked about the return guys in place of Raymond. And just coming back to the cornerback situation, I suggested, what about, you know, putting Brian Branch at corner?
Makes sense.
And if you've got a healthier safety option, maybe Brandon Joseph comes in and starts next to Kirby Joseph and then let Branch take on the corner spot. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. And because I'd like to have a better option than what we saw on Sunday against Indianapolis when Vildor is thrown into the situation.
All right, let me offer a Groupon, and then we'll get to the people. But I want to know if we've arrived at a point where we are no longer, no matter what happens. Please don't come up with situations that are so zany. Just work with me. Rico, what he said there towards the end of the segment was really interesting, which was they went for it on fourth, didn't get it. Nobody cared. Can we keep that same energy no matter how the season does or doesn't finish? Because you know what I really don't want to do? The Dan Campbell should have taken the field goal theater. On a week-in, week-out basis, you know what he doesn't do? Take the field goal. It has become your modus operandi. Can we hand out a Groupon that basically says there will be no discussion of fourth down decisions? You live by the sword, you will die by the sword. And right now, you're living. You're like Rico when he goes out on the town. You're swinging that thing left and right. Different definitions of swords. The point remains. You cannot complain when keeping it real goes wrong. Can we not? There will be no discussion of Dan Campbell fourth downs. This point forward, I want to put an amendment out there.
So if he kicks the field goal, you're okay with it. If he decides to go for it, I'm saying the parameters of this Groupon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there. Because
right, David, you want to vote on this?
Because he actually has a kicker he likes this year. So he's not afraid.
You mean the guy who was selling bricks a year ago?
Yeah, so he's not afraid to kick field goals when he thinks, you know what, go out there. Because he hasn't missed one yet this year. And think about that.
I mean,
he hasn't missed, but while Justin Tucker for the Ravens
six
is just out there looking like he's about to be homeless.
He might be homeless if he misses another one. I'm in on this Groupon. I'm purchasing this Groupon.
Okay.
Yep, I'm all in.
You know, I'm not doing the embargo stuff. I'm just saying, can I just get to a point where I'm not, no matter what happens, and I think they're going to win and win their last game of the season and win the Super Bowl. But if they don't and there's some kind of fourth down call, I would like to advocate you call a different show.
So basically how the season ended last year.
Yeah, I don't want to hear.
You're not allowed
to
do that.
You live by it all year. We're not going to be able to do those shows.
Not going to scapegoat a wide receiver out of town?
I don't think that's fair. Okay. Kenny, go ahead. Hey, by the way, congrats on Jim Montgomery.
Oh, wait.
Nice performance against the Bruins. It's almost like winning 2-1 is unsustainable. Sorry.
Oh, you don't say. Yeah, no, that one hurt my feelings a little bit. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm purchasing the Groupon. I'm with David. I'm all in on this. And you said it. You live by the sword. You die by the sword. And Campbell seems to have a pulse about how this team is going to perform in those situations. Also, we have a legitimate kicker now. I didn't think we did at the beginning of the season, but now we know we do. Yeah, I trust whatever decision he makes on fourth down.
Okay, good. I just want to know if everyone can arrive at that point. So let's get to the people. 248-539-9797. We'll go to DJ, who had the entire back room at St. Elmo's rented out. DJ, how are you?
What up, though, my dog?
How are you
doing, man?
Good to talk to you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm great. Always a pleasure. So I actually was going to elaborate on something that Rico said when I heard him leaving Carson Anderson, which is, Rico, you said which coordinator is more important to our success, and I think that is, like, clearly Aaron Glenn. It's not even close. There's no way on God's green earth you could have told me that my Lions defense would be top five. There's no way. That man has did a coaching job that is unbelievable, and we need to cherish it because I just don't even believe it. I'm still kicking myself at how good they are. So,
yeah, DJ, I actually agree with you that as much fun as Ben Johnson has this offense going and the trick plays, and it's just unstoppable. Because if one person, you know, Montgomery goes out, Gibbs comes in, okay, you want to cover them. There's St. Brown, there's LaPorta. The defense, because it seems like every week you're taking away pieces from Aaron Glenn. He's like, okay, fine, I can work with that. I can work with that. Because you got to remember, this is all without their best defensive player, and they've actually gotten better since then.
Absolutely. Now, Mike, to throw it back to you to answer your question to get back on task, would I bet today? I'm not a betting man, but that's the if game. If I were to bet a paycheck today, absolutely not. And for two reasons. One is Bill Dorr. That's enough said. The Zildor. That's enough said. And then number two, I'm a diehard 313 to the day I die. But what those Philadelphia Eagles present to me, forget Saquon and all those. I don't care nothing about that. It's their defensive line. They possibly have our kryptonite, because I've been watching the way Jalen and Hassan Reddick and those guys have been coming. They coming. So we all know that Goff goes from looking like very good and great to looking average when a defensive line can get on him. That's my only reason I just wouldn't go all in on us winning the Super Bowl, because of that Philly defensive line and Vildor.
Bottom line is, if that game's played in Ford Field, the Eagles aren't winning. You need to just take that to the bank. Now, if you've got to go to Philly, it's a different conversation. But right here, right now, that's not the case. But no, DJ, I understand. But think about this, right? CBS Sports has this note. This is why I think the Lions are historically good. The NFC North is the first division since the 2002 realignment that has three teams with eight or more wins through the first 12 weeks of the season. I mean, you dispatched of Minnesota, you dispatched of the Packers, you're about to do it to the Bears. Exit the bubble, the Bears should be 7-4, not 4-7, but the Pack are 8-3. They're a good football team. The Vikings are 9-2. We may not think they're 9-2 good. They're a good football team. And they're still multiple games behind the Detroit Football Lions. You are 10-1. It is the best start for this team since 1930. Like, it's okay to just say, yeah, this is historical. Mm-hmm. Because it is. And you're winning the Super Bowl.
I think that's the cherry on top. But yeah, I saw that a few weeks ago. Like, man, they are... This isn't just winning. Like, every year there's a good team in the NFL. Good team.
Yeah, this ain't that.
They're in the VIP section of the... Like,
there are killings every day, but there are not a lot of serial killers. This team's a serial killer.
Okay.
This team shows up and you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the margin of victory thing we talked about with your 99 Rams, my 07 Pats, the only two teams in the last 25 years to have a scoring margin of 13.3 points or better a game,
mm-hmm.
The Lions are on pace for that.
I mean, we're going into Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
And we've yet to have a quarterback throw for two touchdowns.
You've gone three straight weeks. If you don't allow the Bears to score in the second half, it'll be a month without giving up a point in the second half.
Right, without giving up a point, but just a second touchdown.
All while you're missing a defensive player of the year caliber player.
And you look at the guys, like, it's not like they went out there and just played no one at quarterback. Like, you're from Stafford, too. Like, there's guys that are, C.J. Stroud, who everybody thought was going to be great.
Stroud, Stafford, Geno, Kyler, Love, Darnold. Who am I missing? Thanksgiving. I can't even keep up. Who did I miss?
I'm trying to think. You said Stroud.
Stafford.
Darnold. Levis.
Who could forget Mason Rudolph?
Mason Rudolph.
The point I'm making is you faced quarterbacks. It's not like the Chargers. Look, we're sitting here, and admittedly, I'm excited about the Chargers. I think they're going to be a wild card problem. Do you know the Chargers haven't beaten a team with a winning record? It's week 12.
Wow.
They haven't beaten a team with a winning record. I'll tell you what, you like math.
Oh, I got into Harvard.
Like, go do the math.
Is that how I said it?
Kind of. Go do the math and give me the record of the teams they faced. Okay. They haven't beat a team with a winning record. Meanwhile, here at Alliance, they beat everybody.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, Geno, Dak, beat them all.
You've been battle-tested against some good offenses, battle-tested against good quarterbacks, and the tests are going to keep coming. I mean, Caleb is playing way better football. Jordan Love is playing better football, and you know what you're getting with Josh Allen, but I just don't feel like any of it matters. I think the team absolutely has the ability to go 16-1. They absolutely have the ability to go down as an all-time great team, and right now they profile like the 07 Pats, who I know didn't win the Super Bowl. I digress. I'm just making a point to you. What you're watching, and you better get it done, because there's very good odds you're not losing a coordinator this offseason. You're losing them both. And you're probably going to lose your assistant general manager in Ray Agnew, because his name's popping up on lists everywhere for someone to take Brad Holmes under study and have him run their team. Get it done now before you look like Rico's team. He's really living La Vida Loca over there. Be lucky if you're 500.
It's always next year.
That's right. Enjoy your prime now, because before you know it, a.k.a. Niners, 24. Overnight. It's the equivalent of overnight oats. Overnight sag. That's what happened to your team.
Yeah, I got it, Mike.
I'm projecting because my team's terrible.
It is Thanksgiving week. It's a quick week, a short turnaround. Good morning, Dan.
Morning.
Let's talk about that last game and the idea of road warriors. I know TJ Lang was giving you a hard time, because can you be road warriors when the presence is so pronounced, all these Lions fans? As long as you've been in the league, just how special is it to see Lions fans on a weekly basis making these journeys?
Yeah, it's very special. And no, I've never been a part of this. Not quite like that. New Orleans, we had a lot of Saints fans that would travel 17, 18, 19, we're having some pretty good years, but this is totally different. This is rare. So it's pretty good. And you could tell when we walked out for the game, pregame, and then right before kickoff, it was just, you could tell our fans were there, and they were, they were taking over that stadium, which was awesome. So it's a good thing, and it feels good, and it's still a road win, though.
I'm curious, at the start of that game, let's even go back to the coin flip. The Colts win the coin flip. They decide that they want to take the ball first. How does that change the mentality at the beginning of the game? And when you guys win a toss, how do you decide whether you want the ball or not?
Yeah, it was awesome, because we wanted to play defense. I wanted to play defense first, so it was perfect. It depends. What is the look of that week, the opponent? Where do I think, the energy that we want to start with that week, where you think maybe you got an advantage, or where you think you can gain some early momentum or set the tone or – And so I think you just kind of go throughout the week and get a feel of that, but definitely wanted to play defense first. And so it worked out great.
Yeah, we could see why. Defense played well again. Yeah. Defense improved so much last year, this year. What do you think the biggest reason is? Even with the injuries, all the improvements been pretty clear.
So first of all, AG and his staff do a great job, we develop a damn good game plan. I think we're ready for our opponents. I think we understand how to play to our strengths and attack their weaknesses, And then our players, man, we've had a number of these guys that have been in this system for a while and have grown and are beginning to develop from, Max playing at a high level. Pascal has stepped up for us. Levi is the best he's been. You got Alex, you got Rodrigo, you got BB, you got Kirby. And then the addition of CD and those guys, it's just, so we're growing, we're getting better every week. And I think it's, there's a maturation process with all of this. So we're playing damn good. No 2 weeks are the same. Every opponent's different, and you got to find a way to stop the one in front of you.
We always see guys, especially in their second year, take a big step forward. Jack Campbell moving into the position of Alex Anzalone. I know you gave a game ball to Rodrigo, but what did you see from Jack specifically about being the green dot full-time and how he stepped into that role?
Well, and look, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, these days are running together right now. Jack got another game ball too. So, just because he didn't get it in the big room where everybody sees doesn't mean so he played that well, and which honestly we expected him to play well. He didn't bat an eye. He went in there. He was physical, got the calls in, was good in coverage. So he was, look, he and Rodrigo, man, they played lights out.
Short week, the injuries. Everybody wants to know the status of some of these guys, but and want to get that from you. But also just the big picture, juggling these guys on a short week, knowing, hey, you don't have a bye week the rest of the way in the regular season. How do you make these determinations?
Yeah, you do the best you can. If you think the guys can play and they can produce and it's not going to set them back. several weeks or whatever, then you do that. But if not, and they, we don't feel like they can recover, then it makes no sense. And so goes life, man. I mean, this isn't going to be the last thing we get hit with now. I mean, we may have three or four players out for this game. And then, you know what, we may lose four more. So that's life. But we'll adjust. Next man up. We'll be ready. And we'll do whatever it takes to get a win.
Best you can. Updates on Decker, Montgomery, Carlton Davis, and Khalif Raymond?
Yeah, I would say they're all questionable.
The punt return. Obviously, Leaf went down. Brown went in. How worried are you that he might pick up an injury in that situation, and do you expect him to be returning punts again this week?
Well, the only, you know why Saint was in there? It's because Leaf got hurt. So, you know, now that we're in another week, you know, we're going to have probably a different returner. And if we need Saint in a critical, we'll use him. But, you know, that was really why he was in there. Because he's sure-handed, and we know he'll get the job done, and he's just so damn reliable. If he wasn't that reliable, maybe we wouldn't put him back there.
Talking to Logan Campbell, Thanksgiving week, Bears on tap. Caleb Williams' rookie season, ups and downs, it's expected, but what have you seen from him when you prepare for this?
I've seen two huge ups in the last 2 weeks. This guy's trending to playing very, very good football the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's playing the quarterback position at a high level. You watch him progress. You watch him process, and it's happening fast. He's got mobility. He knows when to escape the pocket. He's dangerous when he gets out from it. He's one of those sneaky scramblers. And he's got big-time arm. He's pretty accurate. And I don't feel like it's been – like I feel like the information that he's given to the offense and getting into the right play, all those things, he's been pretty damn good with, you know. So I see a developing player that's getting pretty damn good in a hurry.
You mentioned when I asked you about the coin flip, setting a tone at the beginning of the game. What type of tone on Thanksgiving Day, and I don't necessarily know that history plays a part of it, it's been seven in a row, but what type of tone do you want to come out and set against the Chicago Bears at 12:30?
Well, I think we'll choose, instead of offense or defense, we'll choose special teams this week.
Okay. Fair enough. How big a deal is it playing on Thanksgiving? Like, you know, John mentioned the seven straight losses. Does that play a factor at all in the preparation of this game?
I'm sorry. Say that again. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're good. I said seven straight losses on Thanksgiving. Does that at all play into the preparation, the messaging for your team for this game?
Oh, yeah, I got – no, look, not really. I mean, more – believe me, we want to win Thanksgiving. You know, we do. And but the really the messaging is let's win another divisional game. That's kind of the bigger focus of it. And then, you know, in turn, that will get us our Thanksgiving win. But I think that's the big one, man. These division games almost count, you know, they're count for one and a half or almost two. So that's the thing here. You know, you don't win this game and, you know, and it stings. It stings pretty good. All the wins up to this point, they don't mean as much. It's great. Nine in a row. You just lost to Chicago on Thanksgiving. That's division loss. That stings. So we got our work cut out for us. This is an excellent team. It really is. They're so close to finding a way to win. I mean, I'm telling you, they're one play, and it's been that way for 5 weeks now. So, but we're looking forward to the challenge. That's what we do, man. We love it.
If Decker's unable to go, do you plan, because it's a little bit further in advance than the last time Decker went down, do you plan on putting Penei over at left tackle?
A short week, it's – we thought about both. The walkthrough yesterday, we left Sewell at right. But, I mean, since we're not getting full-speed reps anyway, it's very easy for us to just go ahead and throw him over and let him roll. And so we're not 100% on that yet, but I can tell you we left him at right yesterday.
All right, Dan, biggest game is obviously you guys facing the Bears, but I got to ask you about Texas A&M renewing their rivalry with the Longhorns. Been a long time coming. What do you feel about that rivalry finally getting back on the schedule?
Man, it's about time. I mean, it's ridiculous. That is one of the longest rivalries in the history of this game, and it's a special one. It's one I got to play in. I was fortunate to for my time down there. And when you're from that state and you're from the Southwest, I mean, it means something. So it's bragging rights, and it's long overdue. And I'm glad that everybody, you know, we got everything put aside. I know it took everybody getting in the same conference, but it's about time. I'm looking forward to it.
You going to watch it? You're going to have some time.
Yeah, as long as I can keep my eyes open, I sure will.
One of those sleep-deprived weeks, huh?
Little tryptophan.
All right, Dan, we appreciate your time, and happy Thanksgiving.
All right, you guys too. Have a good one.
It's 97.1. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. A ticket, open lines, 248-539-9797. Hey, look, so I want to replay the Julian Edelman thing. He says something in there that I'm like, what are you talking about? Julian Edelman hasn't seen the Lions get it done in a gotta-have-it playoff moment. And I'm like, every playoff game, every single one is gotta-have-it. They're all do-or-die, right?
I'm sorry, was it a blowout against the Rams? Or did they need gotta have that last play, that pass to St. Brown that Goff was able to connect on?
Yeah. Now, look, is Julian Edelman bringing something to the table that maybe we haven't thought about enough, and that's how the playoffs are a different animal? Yeah. Yeah, I think he is. I think this regular season success, we should not confuse it. That it means they're going to plow through the postseason as well.
I don't think anybody's thought that. I think everybody understands that the playoffs are a total different animal.
I'm not sure, but I'm speaking for fans out there. I think some fans think they're just going to roll, and hell, Adam Schein thinks they're going to roll. Can we play the Edelman thing? This was Julian Edelman on Fox Sports on whether or not the Lions are the overwhelming favorite. Okay, his exact wording was, win a game that's a gotta-have-it type game. I haven't seen him go in the playoffs, win a game that's a gotta-have-it type game. Every playoff game's a gotta-have-it type game. They won two of them. They won two gotta-have-it type games when they beat the Rams and they beat Tampa. Because if they didn't win those games, their season was over. That's a gotta-have-it type game. He is only apparently calling the Niners game a gotta-have-it type game. So I disagree with that as a premise. But when he talks about how different the playoffs are, it brings me to that point from yesterday's show that's a little scary. Because we've said it a bunch, how you want to check every box. You want to prove everything during the regular season so you feel really, really good going into the postseason. But in the last 15 years, the 10 and 11 win teams at this point of the season, the dominant, dominant teams like Detroit appears to be this year, that have not only won 10 and 11 games, but have done it by wide margins. And the Lions, this is the largest margin of victory in the NFL. And it is on par with some great teams. Lions' margin of victory in this 10-1 start is 18.1 points. That is healthy, very healthy. The 2007 Patriots were 11-0 with a 21.5 point margin of victory. The 2019 Patriots were 10-1 with an 18.6 point margin of victory. The 2019 San Francisco 49ers were 10-1 with a 17.2 average margin of victory. All comparable to this Lions team. None of those teams won the Super Bowl. None of them did. And so that's the thing that is sort of the sobering. No matter what they've done now, doesn't matter come the postseason. Yeah, the postseason is unforgiving.
The postseason is a total different animal. There's no question about it. And last year, they were 30 minutes away from finding out what it would be like to play Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
But we didn't. They didn't get it done. It's that's what next season's for. Go up and do the same thing. We've seen this before. A Lions team that Barry Sanders was the greatest running back in NFL history, right? But they get to the playoffs, go to play in Green Bay, and he doesn't even get 10 yards rushing or whatever it was. So we know playoffs are different. Everything is – the stakes are you up the ante big time. Here's what could be different about it this year. Even though I still agree that the playoffs are different. If the Lions get the number one seed, every game is played in Detroit. Mm-hmm. That's massive. if they're able to have that advantage. We all know this. Also, getting a bye week would be huge for a team that is already licking its wounds right now. We're just barely past the halfway mark, and they've been licking their wounds since day one with this team, with players that have gotten hurt. So there are things that go their way that maybe you throw in the mix that you're not thinking about right now if you're Julian Edelman.
Well, Edelman was on one of those teams that was dominating that didn't win the Super Bowl. And if his argument is Patrick Mahomes has more experience than Jared Goff in the postseason, he does.
But it's not like Goff doesn't have any. He's 4-4 in his career in the playoffs. Last year was 2-1, completed 69% of his passes in the playoffs, 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. So, I mean, Jared Goff can play at a high level. We know this. We've seen it. Even in the NFC Championship game, played well. You know, had a couple drop passes that really burned him. A bad exchange with a running back really burned him.
I think Edelman's argument is, yeah, in the playoffs, it's always got to have it because it's win or go home. But I don't care what anyone says. The further you go along, there's more pressure and there's more spotlight and there's more media. And that's why the Super Bowl is a different animal than a conference championship game or a divisional playoff game. And so I think what he was trying to say is, until someone dethrones the king, I consider them the favorite and not, you know, the guy coming after the crown, right? Because as much as the Lions are on a roll right now and everyone's loving them, we played the cut earlier where they're picking them to win every game, they haven't done it yet.
Nope.
You know? And so the people that are skeptical, like Julian Edelman, are saying, until they do it, I got to go with the guy who's still on top.
I mean, I love their chances here, but there's a long way to go, and he's right. And the playoffs are unforgiving. Like I heard Tom Milliken talk about this morning. You don't get multiple chances in the playoffs. Every game's one and done, and you have a bad day, something goes wrong person gets hurt, somebody else catches fire, and suddenly your incredibly strong resume doesn't matter, and it's over. That's a scary reality, but it's just the way it is. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Jay in Detroit. You're on 97 on a ticket. Hi, Jay.
What up, though, gentlemen? How you doing?
Well, good, right. Jay.
Good. Man, the only thing I hate about Edelman's argument, and I'm not saying he's wrong, but the whole they haven't done it discussion, I mean, there's only 4 starting quarterbacks in the NFL that have won a Super Bowl, and only two that have done it is since 2012. So most of the league hasn't done it. I feel like as an analyst, it can be a lazy excuse that you can't really take credit away from. I think he compares Patrick Mahomes to Tom Brady, and because he was with Brady, he feels like, hey, till this guy loses, you know, I'm always going to pick him. But I think it's fair to look at what's been done up to this point. And it's about how you want to frame your discussion. Just like you said a second ago, Doug, about the teams that had the same winning margin and didn't win the Super Bowl. But I think all 3 of them went to the Super Bowl. So you can frame it like, hey, everybody that's been in our position has at least made it to the Super Bowl. Or you could say, hey, none of these teams won the Super Bowl. It's the same fact. It's just about how it's framed. And I feel like Edelman's framing it in a way where it's just kind of safe. Well, just say, hey, I'm going to take the guy that's done it.
No, you're right. You're 100% right, Jay. It is safe. It's like Ric Flair used to say, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I think that's what Edelman's basically saying. Until you beat Patrick Mahomes, you haven't beaten him.
Well, here's what's interesting, Jay, is that of the 3 teams I mentioned that are on par with the Lions in the last 15 years in terms of winning and by the margins that they are, the only team that didn't go to the Super Bowl was Edelman's 2019 Patriot team. They lost in the wild card round. And Edelman was on that team.
Yeah, and like I said, so the way, and I'm not, it's not a knock on you because I love you guys. The way you framed it was, oh, well, you know, none of these teams won the Super Bowl, and it sounded negative. But I was just saying you could take the same fact and just make it more, hey, 2 of the 3 teams that are in the position we are made it to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That's a more positive state. It's just about the way it's framed. Yeah, I feel like he's framing it real safe. And that's just kind of how most stats are.
Hey, thank you for the phone call. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hour number 2, good to have you with us. We will do the picks later in the hour. Just get done with the Prop Bet Casino. Talk a little Lions. We got our Thanksgiving draft to do. Let's get to the Lions for a minute. So, David, you had something you wanted to bring up. Now, people, I want to tell you, Enrico, I don't know if you even know the topic. I just want to tell you, I think David is on crack. And I mean, seriously, you need to be drug tested for this take. But as you get ready for your Thanksgiving and you want to relax, watch the Lions. They're off to their best start in 94 seasons. It has been electric. Here's what David is bringing to the table. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I heard people texting into the morning show this morning, basically telling them they were bored with their team, bored with the Detroit Lions. And I wondered, are fans missing the drama? Missing the drama of, oh, we're not sure if our kicker's good. Well, he's good. Oh, we're not sure about Thanksgiving. Well, you're a 10-point favorite on Thanksgiving. Are you missing the drama of what the Detroit Lions used to give you? Because, I mean, me personally, I would love for my team to be your team. Well, I don't have to worry about things every week. We can just go out there and we'll just win. But many fans saying they were bored with this team, and maybe you're missing the drama.
You know what? I'd say this, David.
Oh, my God.
I would say this, and it was kind of touched upon in the last hour when we talked about, you know, watching the game with relatives and new people. And if you missed it, Odyssey Rewind.
Mm, good plug.
Thank you. but I guess the Lions used to be background noise. The Thanksgiving Day game was background noise because you knew they were going to lose. Remember, there was a time where other teams were petitioning, hey, maybe we should take the game away from Detroit because all they ever do is lose. Now, they've still lost seven in a row, even managed to lose last year in a great season. But missing the drama? I got to think, if you're a diehard Lions fan, you're embracing this. I mean, when I'm reading articles and I had to double take, be like, wait, is this real? The Lions, under certain scenarios, could actually clinch a playoff spot this weekend. Now, we all know they were going to make the playoffs. You knew that was going to happen. But to have it happen this early, I got to think that anybody who misses the drama, man, I don't know what kind of childhood you had growing up, because you have to be loving this, because there is no stress, because you can't, you know what? You may be able to help your mother in the kitchen because the game's over at halftime.
I can just tell you, David, look, if this were your third Super Bowl run, if it was something you'd been accustomed to, if you've already had multiple Lombardi trophies in the case, I might understand what you're saying is that, look, I can tell you, I have fun because of what I do for a living, because this is giving people a joy they've never experienced. But if you're talking actual football, is it boring? Yes. There's no drama. We always joke about RFR, Root for Radio. Well, there's only so many blowouts that you're going to have before it kind of becomes passé. Like the idea that you're a 10-point favorite tomorrow, I don't think you can have a real conversation about the game. If they lose, it would be from out of nowhere. Because nothing in their profile is suggestive that they're going to lose any game ever. If it happens, it happens. So on that, in that sense, but remember, what we do for a living is very niche. The average Lion fan has been given nothing over their adult life. So the fact that this team is doing this, no, I can't imagine saying, hey, I miss more drama. Now, drama can be good if you win. But I'm with Rico in this regard. This is uncharted territory. You're in euphoria phase. I think you're just enjoying killing everybody. Yeah. Like, great example. The only thing I've ever had like this in my life would be 2013 MSU, where they went out and won every conference game by double figures. Had never been done in the history of the Big Ten. They went out and dominated everyone, start to finish. And like, yeah, it didn't get boring. It was awesome.
No, oh, no, it did not.
You know what's boring? What we're watching now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I look at it as, and let's just use the Thanksgiving Day analogy. You go from sitting at the kids' table to, David, now you're the Lions, it's your house, and you're carving the turkey. That's where you are right now.
It's I just received a missive from a friend of mine who's a massive Lions fan, wonderful human being, has gone to road games as well, real fan. This is a direct quote to you, David. Any bleep hole that misses the drama is, in fact, a bleep hole. On what planet do fans not love this? Close quote.
Look, I agree. I totally agree with that text. I couldn't believe there were people texting in earlier saying, They were bored.
Yeah, but it's no secret the morning show's listeners are less intelligent than ours. Come on. Come on. Who are we kidding?
It just makes no sense to
me. Here's the drama they need to embrace. Chasing a one seed. Chasing home field advantage. The drama that you can't lose a game because if you do, you could lose everything. Right. That all of a sudden you could lose the dream of an NFC championship game in Ford Field, Super Bowl, Rico nude celebrating in the streets of Detroit. It could all be gone. That's your drama. Your job now is to never lose because the Eagles are right on your ass. Now, if you get to a point where the Eagles are two games behind you and there's 3 weeks to go or something and you go, that's kind of boring, I might get there. But to me, this is such a one-off. It's historical.
Yeah, your drama is watching every game that Philly plays and every game that Minnesota plays because they're your direct competition, especially now that Minnesota has signed Vanilla Vic. So maybe they could be a problem. But yes, you have to keep winning. If you were up and right now they had a three-game lead over everybody, maybe you could say you're bored.
Man, but
you
they
can't
don't.
Say, you, right. But you, missing drama? No. You trust me when I say years from now, you'll be talking about this year as the good old days.
If this season goes the way we think it's going to go, yes, this will be the season you look back forever. But the problem, and look, we don't need to go there today. The problem is you better enjoy this now because if they do this, you'll never enjoy it the same way again. And what I mean by that is like when MSU made the Rose Bowl, you never enjoy it the same way again. It's hard to match that. The Cotton Bowl felt like a disappointment. Then they made the playoff. And after that, I got to be quite honest with you. That was it. Job well done. I don't need tickets anymore. It's not the same. You won't tolerate anything less. And it takes away a lot of your joy. There's an innocence to it. This is the first real championship run. Real one. Anyone has ever been on unless you are literally like 93 years old. And you were like roommates with Dutch Clark. There's an innocence to it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean, Rico? I mean, it's same thing. Like, look at me as a Yankee fan. I'll never get the enjoyment I got from 1996. Now it's just like, will you win the damn thing so I can stop caring again? It's not what it was when I was a kid and I had never seen them win it.
Yeah.
So that's where the Lion fan is at.
Yeah, because especially if you win this whole thing, then going to the NFC championship game and losing, you can be like, oh man, this season sucked. Man, what's wrong with our team?
But see, that's the drama. What you just said. There is no falling short. Anything other than a championship, this season's a failure. Now you can call up and how can you ever say that at all? Please, I dealt with that with Michigan State fans for years. How can you say the Final Four is a failure? Because at a certain point, you have to win one.
Mike, how can you say the Holiday Bowl was a failure?
Okay.
I get it. No, because once the expectations are there, once you've achieved the ultimate goal, anything less is just totally unacceptable as a fan base.
Yep.
And yes, you'll be spoiled.
I'll just tell you this. I look at sports differently, and I'm not asking you guys to interrupt the sportsgasm. Do your thing. Just know there is a sadness attached to this. Because once you win it, nothing short of doing it again will ever make you happy. So it is the ultimate give back, and no fan base in sports deserves it more than you, but nothing will ever be the same if they get this done. So to answer David's question, F you, David. That's where I'm at.
Because I think in order to get the feeling back, your team has to hit rock bottom, kind of the way that, like the Pistons and the Wings. Both experienced championships, but now if you win it again, it's almost like you never experienced the stuff in the past. That's stuff you read in history books.
Yes. 248-539-9797. But yes, I'd love to know the emotional check-in. I mean, think about this. Thanksgiving Day, they've lost 7 in a row. They are double-digit favorites. Now, I'm not going to say who. I'm in the holiday spirit. I'm not going to hit anybody with a bus. Two people in this building have said they think they're losing tomorrow. It ain't me. And it ain't Rico. And it's not David. And it's not old John Denver over there. Nope. No, 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 no. I'm just telling you. The expectation is they're going to win the damn game. But think about another narrative that the Lions get to destroy. They never win on Thanksgiving. Go and do it. Seven in a row? No, end that streak. But what's the emotional check-in now? I mean, you're sitting here. Guys, we're all going to be putting the Christmas tree up or whatever the hell you celebrate, whatever. It's a holiday season, and this team is the Super Bowl favorite. On a short week against the division opponent, they're laying 10 points. I don't think anybody really expects them to lose or is worried. It doesn't mean that they can't or won't lose. David, I would just question the sanity of the people texting the morning show and speaking the words that you're speaking.
Maybe they started the holiday a little bit too early.
Like I said to you, I think scientifically when we've done focus groups, we're about 19 points up on IQ afternoon to morning. From a listener to listener base. Now, I may have made that up.
Hey, I like it. Go with it.
You know what, Mike? 60% of the time, it works every time.
Every time.
We have the exit poll here from Mike Valenti.
That's right. Let's go to the magic wall. 248-539-9797. I want to get with the people on it. We are going to get the picks later in the hour. We have our Thanksgiving draft. We got to have that conversation we always have. Why can't white people just figure it out? What is wrong with our menus?